He is eternal life. He is eternal joy. He is ecstasy beyond any earthly ecstasy. He is the Most High God. And He says, come up higher. Come up higher. I want to take you into heavenly realms. I want to take you into higher realms. Far above the noise and the confusion. Far above the snake line. Amen? That's why an eagle sets up high above, right? Where those serpents can't get in and attack the young. So God lifts us up with Him in heavenly realms, heavenly places. But He says, you need to catch the wind of My Spirit and come with Me and let Me carry you into this place. It's called a place of rest. It's a place of refuge. You're not going to find rest, folks. People are doing dope. They're getting drunk. They're getting high because they're trying to find rest. Amen? They're trying to feel good. Isn't it true? We're all looking for some way to feel good. I don't know about you, but I like to feel good. And I tell you, and you know this already, but this world doesn't really satisfy that need, does it? It gives you cheap counterfeits. It gives you shortcuts, temporary fixes with lasting results that are not good. So God says, come into My presence. Come into My presence. Feed, delight yourself in Me. You will find a high beyond anything this world can offer. How many know I'm talking the truth tonight? How many are experiencing the joys of the Lord, the joys of His pleasure, of His of being in His presence and delighting in that place, because it's in His presence where you're going to find rest for your soul. There's so much and so many of us, and it's very easy to get caught up in all the noise and all the confusion going on around us. But God says, come up higher. Come up out of that. Come into Me. Because God is not in stress at all, is He? He's not stressed out. He's perfect peace. So come into perfect peace. Come into Me, He says. Come into My heart. Let Me hold you close. You have to let Him do that. He never will force Himself. You know, we can sit back and fold our arms and wonder why these people are acting like they are. But I discovered one day that I just might as well get in the river with them. They seem to be having a good time there. I quit being an observer. I'm going to be a participant in this thing, man. This is good. Hallelujah. I don't care if anybody else is going in the river. I'm going in. And hopefully I can encourage you to go in too, because that's where life is. That's where the refreshing's at. That's where real joy, unspeakable and full of glory, exists in Him. That's where love, a perfect love that casts out fear, a love that will give you a supernatural boldness, an ability to stand, even though others around you may be falling prey to the pressures of this world, to conform to this world. There's a place in God where there's a supernatural endowment of power that will lift you and strengthen you and enable you to stand even though everybody may be falling around you, because your God is the one standing up inside of you. And He welcomes you and says, come to Me and rest. Amen. You take My yoke upon you. So I want to talk about that tonight. Is that okay? We're going to talk about rest, and I'm going to do it anyways, but I was just wondering if you... No. That's it. I'm leaving. God is good. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's what? So how many want to please God? Right? So it takes faith to please God. This is not a blind faith, because blind faith is what? Superstition, right? People are superstitious, you know, step on the crack, break your mother's back, or a black cat runs across your path. You know, that's foolishness. But our faith is rooted in the true reality, which is heaven. Our faith is anchored in heaven, right? Our faith is real because we serve a living God. Our faith has evidence. Our faith has substance. It's not genuine faith unless there's evidence. Would you agree? unless there's substance of him. If any man be in Christ, if he's in faith, right, in Christ, he's going to be a new creation. There's going to be an evidence of a changed heart, a changed life, a changed perspective even. Wow, I don't see things the way I used to because God's Spirit is in me now. Make sure that the Spirit of Christ is in you. Make sure. Amen? So faith is believing God. Faith is the superior reality. It's calling that which is invisible into the visible. It's calling that which is superior into the inferior. It's bringing that which is in heaven down to earth. Amen? We want to see the reality of the invisible kingdom of God manifest, revealed here on the earth. And you know what? God wants to show up, and he wants to, in a sense, show off. He wants to show you who he is. He wants to reveal himself to mankind. But he'll never force himself. If you seek, you'll find. You really want to know God, seek him. I mean, turn the TV off, turn the distractions off. Shut yourself in. If you really want to know God, seek him, and he'll reveal himself to you. He wants to. But you've got to desire that. You've got to want to know him. Some people are just sitting around waiting. One of these days, something's going to just happen. God says, come to me. Those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. But he said also to what? Seek. Seek the Lord. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. So as believers, you know, inability is not our worst problem. It's not our hardest struggle. It's unbelief. Sometimes we limit God because of our unbelief, and sometimes we blame it on our inability, but it's not our inability. Because God's ability is greater than our ability. And what he calls us to do is greater than we are and greater than our ability. And so if you want to have the ability to do what he calls you to do, you simply need to believe that when he tells you to do something, he's going to be with you and he's going to do it through you.
Amen.
He's a supernatural God. He's above and beyond anything we see or touch or feel. And he wants to manifest and reveal himself through us and to us. And we're getting a glimpse, a taste, and finding how good and desirable it is. You know, there was a time when I used to look around and I said, well, these people are nutty. You know? Man, why are they getting so carried away? And, you know, until I discovered, you know, how good God is. And I said, man, I don't care what you think. I'm going after him. He's so good. He is my fix. I don't know how else to say it. God is the one who takes care of me. He's the one that fills me. He's the one that gives me the joy that I'm looking for. He's the one that just gives me the peace that passes all understanding. He's the one that gives me a steadfastness, a love in my heart that keeps me, that gives me a supernatural ability. Where you might be a weak and timid and shy individual, you can become bold as a lion in the Lord. And you know, you can become as bold as a lion and be as gentle as a dove. Doesn't mean you have to be loud and arrogant. You can be quiet and bold as a lion. God told us, Jesus said to what? Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But we've been called to a higher place. We've been called to come into a place called rest. And that rest is in his presence, in him. It's not some activity that we do. It's not joining a church. It's not teaching Sunday school. It's not some activity we do. How many know that's true? It's sometimes a matter of just being still, settling down, relaxing, taking the time to shut off and shut out everything else and determine in your heart that I want to know God. I want to know him. I'm going to set my heart to seek him. David said, you called me to seek your face, and I said, my heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. And anything that is worth anything is worth a search. There's some buried treasure. We talked about it this morning, right? People will do anything to get to that treasure. Yes. They'll sell all their assets off because they know if I can just get a hold of that treasure, it's going to be so much greater than anything else. And no, I'm not asking you to sell all your assets. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that He is your treasure. Yeah. He's your great reward. He's the satisfier of your soul. He's the lover of your soul. He's the one who can sustain you through the difficulties, through the storms of life. It's only in Jesus Christ. Your willpower will carry you so far, but your willpower will let you down, because when the pressures of this life come against you, when the peers, your peers begin to pressure you, to conform, pressure you, to compromise. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Your willpower only goes so far, and you begin to cower, you begin to give in. And besides, you don't want to be an oddball, so. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. A little compromise here and there, just to pacify the enemy who's really working behind the pressure. It's an appeasement, you see. Just appease the devil a little bit and he'll leave you alone. But each time you appease him, he requires a little bit more the next time. Appease me a little bit more next time, and a little bit more next time. And before long, your whole life, you're in slavery to him. You are a slave to sin, a slave to the devil. And it only began with what? Smoking a little cigarette or smoking a joint or whatever it might have been, right? Letting your eyes wander in the wrong direction. Starting to entertain the wrong kind of thoughts. Checking out stuff on the internet that you shouldn't be checking out. Now, if I looked at you, it's not, I'm not. All he says is, let me get my foot in the door. But when you're in a place of rest, when you're in a place of glory and bliss, when you're finding your sustenance, your strength, your life in Him, those things do not have the pull. They do not have the power. They lose their luster. The things that I used to pursue in life no longer entertain me, no longer entice me. I am dead to them. I don't want it anymore. I don't need it. And I used to think people were crazy. When I was in the party life, and I get around those, goody-goody two-shoe Christian people, and they used to make me really uncomfortable. Yeah. The light was on, I wonder if they're going to figure me out here, Don't look them in the eye. Isn't that the way it was? Yeah. But God wants you to enter into rest. When you're in rest, the world, the things that would entice you before lose their luster, they lose their power. The devil does not have authority over a born-again believer. Is Christ in you? If Christ is in you, you are a new creation.
That's right.
So you need to be in that place of rest in Him so that you're not going to be enticed. You're not going to be drawn in to the pressure, amen, and the traps of the enemy. Now, Peter was one who thought that he could do it on his own. You know the story of Peter. Peter was the bold, muscular, in-your-face kind of guy, outspoken guy. But Peter found out that all that wouldn't stand up to the pressures that he would face when the enemy of his soul began to come onto the scene and began to call him to the carpet. Peter had found out real quickly that what Peter thought he had in him was not going to make it. It was not going to cut it. Peter had to be broken of himself, and Peter had to realize that his grace, amen, his strength, his ability was going to be in God. How many know what I'm talking about? It's not in my ability, it's in His ability. And so for you and I to experience the life that God desires for us, we've got to be abiders. We've got to be abiding in Him. We've got to be in a place of rest. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want you to turn to... In fact, Let me just read out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Beginning with verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. We'll begin here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The first step, folks, is for us to get a revelation or a knowledge and understanding of what God has made available to us. Would you agree? You can't receive from God until you first understand what's available for you, what He has for you. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where does it come from? It comes from God, His divine power. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. How many are reading your Bible? How many are growing in knowledge of God? By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. That's our God. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do we do that? By becoming partakers of the divine nature. By abiding in Him who is divine. By resting in Him who is our peace, who is our joy, who is our love. By being encapsulated in Him. By being armored in God. By putting Him on as clothing, if you will. When Adam had failed, when Eve had failed in the beginning, they became ashamed. They knew they were naked. And they went and they hid themselves. The shame caused them to hide. Aren't you glad that God had a plan for them too? And then they tried to cover up their own shame, remember? With the fig leaves that they put together. And God says, that ain't going to cut it either. And so God clothed them. And then it was bearable, at least, for a season. But God has given us something greater. He has given to us His Son. He has given His Spirit to us. And we put Him on as a garment. And when Father sees us, He sees His Son. He sees the likeness of His Son. And in Him we have a confidence. In Him we have a strength. In Him we have peace. When we are abiding in Him, when we are in rest, it means to be in Him, neath the shadow of His wing, in the secret place of the Most High. And so, God has given to us precious promises, great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, if you would turn with me to Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Chapter 1. Most of us really love this. I love this. I go back to it often because it has application to my life today. I'm going to know that this is an eternal word. Amen? This is a living word. This is a living document. It's alive. These words were spoken by holy men of God who were moved about as, if you will, the wind beneath a sail by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. That God breathed this word into them and through them. They were able to write it word for word as the Spirit gave it to them. This word is inspired. It is from God. That's why the Bible has withstood the test of time. They have tried to destroy this book. They have tried to burn them. They have tried to, you know, every conceivable idea to get rid of this word. But it has stood. Why? Because it's the eternal word of God. And God is going to make sure that His word will endure. And that people have access to His word. So don't take it for granted. Take advantage of having a Bible. Amen. There are so many around the world that don't have a Bible. There are some villages that have one Bible. I mean, and some are even waiting for that one Bible to come. And it's so precious. Some people just have little portions of Scripture, you know. They have, one will have a page, another will have a page, and they get together and they share what they have. In hopes that one day they'll have a complete Bible even. And we've got them all over the house sometimes, collecting dust. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, here's the transition time. Something is beginning to shift and change. It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Wow, that is a promise. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Who else said that? Who was Jesus? God the Son. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only, here it is again, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may what? God wants to prosper us. He wanted to prosper Israel. Wherever you go, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Does God want you to be prosperous? God wants you to have success, yes. Have I not commanded you, be strong the third time, and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you. When Jesus went away, he told his disciples, the Comforter, the Spirit, is with you, but he shall be in you. How much better do we have it today? Where we have been given, the church has been given the Holy Spirit. That we might understand and know what has been freely given to us in Christ. What is our inheritance of the saints in light? What God is even preparing for those who love Him? He begins to reveal it to us by His Spirit. And He told these people three times to be very courageous, be bold, be strong. Amen? Because the Lord is with them. I will be with you. How many know Jesus said the same thing to us? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Our faith needs to be in that fact that God is with me, God is for me, and because God is for me, who can be against me? Is anyone greater than my God? No. No mere man who's going to die, amen, is greater than my God. Because the fear of man is a snare, it's a trap. When we fear people, when we fear man, what happens? We end up compromising. We start lowering our standards because you begin to worship what you fear. You bow down to pressure because you fear that power behind it. It's idolatry. When you put the standard of man before the standard of God, He's an eternal God. He's a mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Most High God. And therefore, we have been given His Spirit. We are in Him who is eternal. who has all power, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, and even under the earth. We are in Him. Your rest is in the fact that God is in you, God is with you, God is for you. Your rest is abiding in the truth that says, I will never leave you. Oh, it may be scary at times. You may be going into territory, into places that you've never been before, but the confidence comes by you knowing that God is with you, that God is for you. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God is with you. God is for you. And God is greater in you than he that's in the world. So rest is coming into, first of all, an awareness and understanding of truth, of knowledge of Him, what's been freely given to me in Christ, and me grabbing a hold of truth and saying, this is going to be my standard. This is going to be my life. I'm going to live this. I'm going to speak this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to listen to what God says, and if it doesn't line up with God's, what God says, throw it out. If your peers are not walking with God, don't walk with them there. Amen? Because you have a resource, an eternal resource. You have ability to come to God and to receive grace and find mercy to help you in your time of need. Hallelujah. So here we are. Moses is dead. Joshua is raised up. And he said, go into the land. Amen? Be of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. How many know that God wants you to have complete victory in your life? I'll say it again because maybe you didn't get it first time. Really, doesn't he? God wants you to have complete victory in your life. He wants you to have victory over all your enemies. The enemy of your soul. Amen? You don't have to be subject to the demonic realm. You don't have to fall prey to Satan. You can rise above that into a place of rest, into a place where God is. Amen? Where you cannot be touched by those things. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest. Near to the heart of God. Search, seek the Lord. And He wants to reveal Himself. And when He reveals Himself, you'll go, wow. God is so awesome. Those things I thought I wanted, you can have it. I found something of ultimate value, of worth, of glory, eternal glory. What is our life but a vapor? It's here and gone. We're living for eternity. And we're going to enjoy the journey too. And we can walk in rest in Christ Jesus. God didn't tell the Israelites to have an incomplete conquest. He told them, wherever you go, wherever the soles of your feet walk, I've given it to you. Now, do you believe that in your own life? Do you believe that you can have complete victory in your life? Yes. Yeah. Because if you listen to the wrong voices, they will tell you, no way. I'm not permitting you to go there. You can't come here. This is my territory. This is my turf. This is my domain. If you listen to that voice and you quit listening to the voice of the shepherd, you're going to end up serving that voice. But when God says, every place where the soles of your feet trod, I've given to you, we're going to listen to that because Almighty God said that. And that means that whatever you may be facing, if you're having an addiction problem, you're having a struggle with some kind of besetting sin, God wants that thing completely eradicated out of your life. And the way that you get victory is not by trying a little harder. Striving a little harder. You get victory by pressing into God with a passion. I have found my answer is simply in the lap of Jesus. It's in the heart of God. It's in His presence, in His glory. These things, they lose their power. They lose their luster. They lose their strength. They cannot control me. My flesh dies in His presence because no flesh will glory there. So we in our hearts search deep. Deep cries unto deep. We search deep for the heart of God. And we enter into a place of rest. We enter into a place where there is no stress. We enter into a place where there's perfect peace. And we've been given the privilege and the opportunity as believers to completely eradicate every enemy in our lives. It may not happen overnight, but step by step, as you obey God and you listen to Him, and God says, I want you to deal with that thing. If you obey the Lord in it, when He tells you, when He convicts you of some sin, when you deal with it right then, when He's telling you to do it, He's going to provide the grace you need to get free from that. Yes. Because He already gave you the promise. You step in that direction, the direction of obedience, that He's going to set you free from that. He's going to give you victory. He's going to give you, amen, the ability to rise up above. And so He gave him the command here, and He gave the people the command to go. Amen? Alrighty. So I want you to move over to Judges chapter 1. Verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, here's a transition point again. Judges chapter 1 is the next book to your right. It came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, Come up with me to my allotted territory. What is he saying? He's just speaking back what God had already promised them. He said, God already gave it to us. This is my allotted territory. What? So then he says that we might fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Where was their confidence? Their confidence was in the promise of God, that he would not leave them or forsake them, and that every place the soles of their feet trod, that he would give them. He would give them complete victory, conquest over their enemies. But they needed to be of good courage. They needed to have faith that what God said was true, that God would back up His word. God wants you to be free. God does not want His people bound by the devil. God does not want His people in addictions. He doesn't want His people being slaves to the devil. He wants them to put the devil to death, amen, in their life. To kick him out. Dispossess, say, out of here. This is holy ground. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have no place. And I'm not giving you any place. When you're free indeed. You have such a freedom, such a liberty. Hallelujah. And so in verse 17, if you'd move over there, chapter 1:17 of Judges. And the Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Zephthah and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers. But they, listen, could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland, because they had chariots of iron. In other words, they did have some difficulty. Not everything was an instant success. We like everything instant. Yeah. There are some battles, some things we deal with in life that don't happen instantly. How many know what I'm talking about? But I want you to know that in the process of overcoming, you are being strengthened. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not boxing the devil, but there's times when we wrestle. But wrestling strengthens you. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day at that time. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. So the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. The name of the city was formerly Luz. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, "Please show us the entrance to the city, and we will show you mercy." So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go. And the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called its name Luz, which is its name to this day. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages. Or, I think I got this right, Tanakh and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. For the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. Opposition. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. What did they do? They made deals with the enemy. They appeased the enemy. They used the enemy for their own advantage. How many know that we cannot appease the enemy? That we cannot strike deals with the enemy? We cannot compromise with the enemy? It's either yes or no. If God says yes, it means yes. If He says no, it means no. But don't strike deals with the enemy. Because that's what he wants you to do. The reason being is because he's going to set up camp. You've given him access. You've given him permission to torment you. He will be a thorn in your side. Whenever you compromise with the enemy, you're given permission for him to come into your life and mess things up. And so we need to have a complete conquest of the enemy. We need to completely kick him out of our lives. And so now we go to chapter 2, verse 1. The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, "I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." He's the promise-keeping God. "And you shall make no," listen, "covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice." Why have you done this? The reason why a lot of people don't get victory and have complete victory over the enemy in their lives, I want you to hear this, is for this very reason. It's because we strike deals. We appease the enemy. We don't completely eradicate. We don't take a strong stand against evil. And it's in the place where we have sympathy towards evil, even if it's a little thing, a little sympathy for the devil is all he wants. Because that's a place where now he can set up camp. That's called a stronghold. You're giving access. You're giving him permission to come into your life and operate. People with addictions, it's the same thing. There's a stronghold. Sometimes it's voluntary. Sometimes it's involuntary. Children are born sometimes because of the sins of the parents. Amen? Into addiction. But there are strongholds that need to be broken. And you're not going to break them by appeasing the enemy. He wants you to strike a deal with him. He wants you to compromise a little bit. Come on, how many of you have decided, "I'm going to quit doing this"? And you're determined you're going to quit doing this. And you do good for a little while. And then one day you just strike a little deal with the devil. And you say, "Well, maybe just one more. Just for ha-has, just for grins. Come on." And so you compromise a little bit. And what does the enemy do? He says, thank you very much. You just gave me territory. You just gave me a foot in. And guess what? I'm going to bring some more boys with me this time. I'm going to make sure that you're even more addicted than you ever were before. You're going to be more bound than you ever were before. Sometimes it's better that we don't know the way than after having received the knowledge of the truth and the way being plain to us, and then we turn again back to it. James said it. For some, it's better that they'd never known the way of truth than after having received the way of the truth. You know, he says it's just like a dog returning to its vomit, or a pig that was washed to its mire. And so we have decided to follow Jesus. We have joined ranks with Jesus. We are in the army of God. We are here to conquest. We are here to kick devil butt. We're not here to compromise with the devil. Amen. We are here to, first of all, eradicate him from our own lives, from our own minds. We're not going to give him any more permission to mess with us, to get in our hair and build a nest, right? We're going to say, no, devil, done, out. That thought does not line up with what God says. God says that I'm to kick you out completely, eradicate you. Why? Because my God has given me victory over you already. All I got to do is walk into it by faith and say, God gave it to me, it's mine, get out. And as long as there's appeasements being made, see, God was upset with them because he said, I told you not to do this. And he says, you shall make, verse 2, no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wow. Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be what? Thorn, snare in your side. And their gods shall be a snare to you. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. Jesus, meaning weeping. How many have realized that there can be no compromise? There can be no compromise. It's got to be all or nothing, folks, all or nothing. Because it's in the areas that you give permission. It's in the areas that you rationalize and you justify. And it's the areas that you try to appease the devil. It's the areas that you're bowing down and you're allowing access. And all he needs is just a foot in the door. Because if he can get his foot in the door, then he can start bringing the boys and he can bring in the big guns. And what started out as a little compromise then becomes a life. And even as a believer, it happens. It happens to even great men of God, doesn't it, brother? Amen? Some that were in high places in the kingdom. And God had used some of his generals. They began to compromise a little bit, allowing thoughts, allowing their eyes to wander, just doing things that God says, don't appease the enemy. Don't make compromises. Don't play games. Don't play with fire, or you will be burned. And God wants you and I to be holy so that we can be open containers that are, amen, in a good way. And we can pour out the presence, the glory of God wherever we go. Amen. If we get the enemies out, and then we have a greater capacity. It's true. We're being sanctified. We're defeating these enemies. Some of them are a little tougher. Some of them you got to stand in there and you just got to wrestle for a while. If it means you got to wrestle all night, do it. If it means you need to fast and pray, do it. But overcome, deal with the enemy, because God has already given you the victory. It's a matter of you and I believing that God is true. And so like Judah, we must believe that we have an allotted inheritance, because we can find rest in God there. Faith in Christ alone is the way to victory and of entering his rest. Not faith in Christ and works, but faith in Christ alone. Not law and grace, but grace through faith in Christ alone. We need to cease from our works. How many know that Once again, you don't have what it takes to defeat the enemy. Yeah. We don't have enough willpower. We need God. Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 10, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." Remember? On the seventh day. It was the Sabbath. It was the day of rest where God said, "It's finished." Amen? It's beautiful. It's good. He entered into a place of rest. When Jesus died on the cross, he says, "It is finished. The work of redemption has already been done. The enemy has been defeated. He has spoiled principalities and powers. Jesus has been exalted to their highest place. He has the keys." Amen? And he has deputized and commissioned you and I to go in his authority and his power to do the same thing that he did when he was on the earth, to displace and drive out the enemies. Hallelujah. And we begin with this one right here. We're not going to take the city until we can take this one first, right? We take up. And we can in Jesus' name. But entering into rest means we have to cease from our works. Some people are bound just by performance, you know. Some of us grew up in situations where everything was performance based. You know, you tried really hard. You tried to do things with excellence. You tried to be an achiever. You tried to do things well. And it seemed like no good deed left unpunished, you know. It seemed like you tried so hard, but you never quite made the grade. Has anybody ever felt that way? That you've tried so hard and you just never quite made the grade? I grew up in a situation, at least in my heart, in my mind, I felt that way. And I had teachers at school who were oppressive and had said things to me even that made me feel like, you know, "Oh, you'll never amount to anything," you know. Some hurtful things that were said. And sometimes just felt like I could never quite make it. And I just got discouraged. And then I just gave up. I said, "Who cares anymore? I'm just going to party, live it up, do my own thing. I ain't going to do anything for anybody." You know, I was obviously still making the wrong decision. The issue here was that I needed to get out of the performance-driven mentality. And I needed to enter into the rest of God. And I needed to get my affirmation from Father God, where he says, "You are my son, in whom I'm well pleased." My affirmation comes from Father God. He says, "You're mine. You're my boy. That's my boy. And I made you the way you are because I like you just the way you are. And I've got a plan for your life. Don't look for your affirmation from people." Yes, it's true that we need to do that to one another. We should be, amen, also encouraging and affirming one another. But, folks, ultimately you need to get your affirmation from Father God. You need to know that He is with you, that He is for you, that He loves you, that you're His child, and that's what really matters. You need to get out of the place where if I just perform a little harder, a little better, that God will like me a little bit more. And there's so many Christians that are just hung up in that place of legalism, trying to live good enough, be holy enough, until they come to the place where they realize that they can't. And the harder I try to live holy, the more I become a failure and I fall short of God's glory. And so I need to understand something. My holiness is in Christ alone. It's in Christ that I am righteous. It's in Christ that I am encapsulated in His glory, that I have victory over my enemies. It's in His presence where there's fullness of joy. It's in His presence where I find affirmation. My confidence is in Christ, not in me. Not in my performance. And the works that I do now, I do out of love for my Father. Because I want to please the one I love. I want to please the one I know loves me unconditionally. He loved you before you loved Him. He loved you before you knew Him. For God so loved the world. The lost world. The lost sheep. God loved humanity. He loves people. So we should never look at people as if, oh, you're a waste. They're a lost sheep. Just like you and I were. They need to know about the love of this God that we serve. What He's done for them, all that He's done for them, He's prepared a banquet. An eternal celebration, and He's inviting you, say, come. Come to the eternal party I'm having. Come to my table. Because God here, very clearly in Scripture, has promised rest to His people, it's possible for us to have rest. And I know some of us are knowing what that's like. But rest is only possible the same way you enter in it to the way you enter in the first way, and that is by faith. Not only do you enter rest by faith, but you abide in rest by faith. By trusting in God's word. Trusting in what God promised. Regardless of what it feels like, regardless of what it looks like, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And our faith has evidence, and our faith has substance. When you really believe God, you will see the evidence of that faith. And the biggest evidence, and I know that I have a witness here tonight, is the changed heart. How He's changed my heart. Something I could never do. I could make a lot of outward changes, you know. I could get people to believe that I was doing all right. But deep down inside, I knew I wasn't. They thought everything was okay. But I knew it wasn't. Faith in the promise of God that we have access to Him. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Where is rest? Rest is at God's throne. It's in the arms of Jesus. Access by faith in His promise. Come. Come up higher. We abide in Christ, and that's the key to rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. How many know He wasn't just talking about working on the chain gang? Amen? Amen. He wasn't talking about punching a clock kind of labor. He's talking about you've been under the yoke of oppression. You've been under the hard taskmaster Lucifer. You've been under the bondage of the devil. He's made life nasty and miserable and hard for you. He's saying, come to me and you will find rest. All you who are laboring, who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many have found that to be true? Performance-driven Christianity is not easy, it's not light, it's difficult, and it's impossible. But when you come into relationship, when you come into an abiding union, when you just find your delight is in Him, you delight yourself in God. You make Him your all in all. You make Him your first. Amen? Amen. He's your first love. He's your best love. He's your best friend. And you walk with Him, and things, life is good when you're walking with Jesus. Because even though we are weak, we know He's strong. My elder brother, my big brother Jesus is right there with me. Amen. So you better not mess with me, devil. Because I can invoke His name against you. And so I'm not going to appease you. I'm going to stomp on you because I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do, and that is destroy your works. And we do that by faith in the promise of God that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And that's why He told us, like He told them years ago, be strong and of good courage, because the Lord your God is with you. Yes. Woo! He's already overcome the world. Yes. And we're on the winning team. So defeat every enemy. Amen? Don't be passive. Be aggressive about this thing. We're in a war. Deal with those enemies as they come up. Amen? Yes. Kick them out in Jesus' name. And the best way to kick them out is by giving them no permission, by obeying the Spirit of God. Just obedience. God said, okay, God, you told me to do this. I'm going to do this. Once you do what He tells you, you'll find out most of the time you don't even have to go around rebuking the devil. Once you get into obedience, amen? He says, well, I ain't got no place to be anymore. They've gotten into compliance now. I have no longer any legal access, no legal right. And if he wants to be stubborn, then you say, get out. You have no legal authority here. You have no place. But often, just the revelation of this book right here, the Word of God coming in, brings light. And wherever the light is, they no longer can hide. So you want to get the truth. Amen? It will set you free.